So, we're studying in these prayers of Paul, and we're in Colossians chapter 1, and we've been in this prayer in verse 9 for several weeks. We're going to be several weeks more, but that's the way I study, so... My desire is not only just to help you see what is in this, but to help you see how to bring out what's there. That sometimes we just read the word too carelessly, too lightly. We can read and not think about what we're reading. Just like driving, and 10 minutes later you can't even remember where you were for the last 10 minutes. And that's dangerous. I know none of you ever do that, but it's happened to me. And we can be the same way with the Word of God, that we read it, but we're not really hearing it. We're not paying attention. And so many times we can read. That's why a lot of times I like to read the Word out loud, because I'm not just seeing it, I'm saying it. And when I say it, I hear it. And so I believe that there's those three things. A lot of times we can just say. And by the way, reading it, your mind, if you read it out loud, your mind can't get distracted to other things. Again, which I know never happens to you. But I know people that it does happen to. So we need to listen to what God is saying, not just read it. So let's look again, Colossians chapter 1, and we're in verse 9, and this is the whole prayer, and again, I left it there in a somewhat of an outline form. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, and so from the day we heard of your faith and love toward God, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's what we're going to be looking at today, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And so in this prayer, there's three basic petitions that Paul is requesting, starting in verse 10, 11, and 12, to walk, to be strengthened, and to give thanks. And all of those fit within Paul's desire for these believers to have. And under each one of these, there's other implications of that. And so we look at all of that. But the very first thing that Paul begins with is that they be filled with the knowledge of his will. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. Last week, or last session, we talked about asking, which is to put a demand upon. Not just to ask it, you know, carelessly or thoughtlessly, but to put a demand, a require, to request. And that again was something, as we talked last week, something that we ask for something that is ours either by relationship or by promise. And so God makes a promise and we ask. We don't just sit there and say, well, God promised it, so it's going to happen. No, we ask. We place a demand upon that which God promised. Because God made promises to everyone, but not everyone is asking. Not everyone is believing for those promises to come to pass. Not everyone is engaged with those promises, and not everyone even knows what they are. So as we look at this, we want to be filled with this knowledge of his will. So that's my lesson for today. And Paul, as I said earlier in our lessons, Paul is, he's in his pastoral role in this letter. More so than a lot of his other letters, which are teaching, which are correction. Some are very strong correction, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. But Paul here is serving as a pastor, interested in the well-being of this church, this flock. And so he sees the need that is there, even though, as he's going to say later, I've never been there. I've never seen you face to face. You've never seen me. Well, some of them had because they had been under his instruction. But as far as the church, Paul had not visited Colossae at this point. He's going to, yet he knows so much about what's there. Why? Because of relationship with the leaders who are there, one especially, a man named Epaphras. And Epaphras has a great passion for this church. And when Epaphras finally got to Rome to be with Paul when he was in house arrest, spent some time there, we don't know how long, but he spent time there and filled Paul in on all the things that were going on. Now, his church was over 1,000 miles away. So Colossae is over 1,000 miles away from Rome. Yet, Epaphras is communicating to Paul what's going on there. And so then Paul engages not only in just writing a letter, but informing them what he's praying for them. So that they know what he's engaging. He's not just telling them what they should do and how they should live or how they should be corrected, but he's also telling them what he's praying for them so that they know that it's not all just in teaching, it's in praying. And we teach. I teach for an hour here in our class. Pastor Jeff teaches for an hour. I have an hour on Tuesday nights that I teach. But that's not filling all the church because they don't all come here and they don't all sit and listen to pastor. I know it's never happened to you, but as pastor's talking, we can just glaze over. And it's like, what did he just say? Or, like sometimes happens to me, he says something and the next thing you know, I'm off in a study. You know, and I'm looking at a couple other verses, I think, wow, that would make a good sermon or that's a great lesson, and I'm off. Come on, happened to anybody else? Am I the only person that does that? And so there I am, you know, looking, and now it's like, whoa, I don't even know where he was because I'm looking at something else. Not that what I was looking at isn't good, but I got distracted from his lesson. So that can happen. So Paul knows that, and so he says, I want you to know what I'm praying. Plus also, as we've said over and over, they didn't have a Bible to refer to. They didn't have scriptures. They knew there was an Old Testament, but many of the people in Colossae were Gentile, and they'd come out of pagan religions. They didn't know anything about the Old Testament unless their leaders had begun to teach them. But so they didn't even know what the Old Testament was about, even if they had a scroll to read, but it was in Hebrew, so they couldn't read it. So Paul is wanting these people to know what they don't know. And that's like so many believers. You may have a Bible in your hand. You might have a dozen Bibles in your house. I know I do. And you know, it's like, well, I know I bought that Bible because there's a couple things I saw in there that I really liked. So now I've got it. Now with my electronic Bibles and library, I've got probably 20 translations, maybe 100, 200 text and concordances and word studies and dictionaries and all of that in just this little thing, which is, again, amazing that God could take this technology and apply it in that way. So I'm glad for that. But a lot of times I still do like to read from a paper Bible because when I'm reading electronic, I just see a verse or two. When I'm reading out of here, I can see the whole paragraph. I can see other paragraphs. I can see the context of where it's gone. And so that's why I still like to use my old school Bible. Yeah. So here we are. that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. And this is Paul's, really, his first petition, in a sense, because this is what the rest of this hangs upon. They can't walk in the will of God if they don't have knowledge of his will. They can't bear fruit unless they have knowledge of his will. And they can't fully give thanks unless they know what God has done and his purpose for them. So all these things fit within this context. And this opening part of this prayer is, in a sense, is the source for everything else that's going to come. So let's look at this. Paul writes that you may be filled with. The word may be, yep, there he is. Jeff's going to go to one Greek word. Because maybe is actually just one Greek word. That you may be filled. Actually, it's not really even a word. It's an ending on a word, but so much for that. This is Paul's first thing, that you may be. And this is, as in the majority of Paul's prayers, and also in a lot of his writing, he asks not as a certainty, but as a potential. And so this verb, may be filled, the ending of it says that this is potential. It might happen, and it might not. Because it not only depends upon what God gives, but how the people respond. That God may give you. So, in the Greek language, this is called a subjunctive mood. I know you needed to use that, so you can throw that out, you know, when you're talking to people. Subjunctive mood, which simply means it's subjected to something else. And that is you hearing it. And Paul uses this in a lot of his writing. And so every time you see the word in English translated may be, might be, then you see those words, it's this thing. It means God has done this, or I'm telling you this, but you've got to respond in order for it to work in your life. So this is the access that you may be filled. It's like God put $1 million in your bank account, but if you don't draw it out, it's just going to sit there. So what God gives, you have to draw upon. And so God gives us peace, but we've got to draw upon it. I mean, he has granted us peace. That's flowed from his throne. He's granted us joy, hope, but we have to draw from those. Strength, God has given us strength, but you got to draw from it. He's given you the assurance of his purposes and his plans, that what he says he will do, but you got to draw from that. Instead of just letting him do it. And that's what separates us from a lot of the, quote, sovereign grace churches. Sovereignty churches, I'll call them. Because in their understanding, if God said it, then he'll do it, whether you believe it or not. Whether you accept it or not. As long as you're the right person. Well, how do I know I'm the right person? Well, actually, if you study out Calvinism all the way to its extent, you won't know that it's yours till you get to heaven. You won't even know you're saved till you actually get to heaven. Now, they promise that if you're saved, you're not going to lose it because you are the chosen and you're going to go and that's it. But you don't really know that you are. You may be fooling yourself. You may be disillusioned. So the whole principle is, well, God's going to do it. And so we hear that when they talk about healing or God delivering you from something or God doing this work in your life. Well, that's if he wants to, and he might not. So you can't be assured of any of those things. You don't have a right to ask for healing because it might not be God's purpose for you to be healed. Now, you can't read that anywhere, and neither can you find it anywhere in the life of Jesus. He never said, you know, I'm going to make you sick so that you can learn God's purpose and plan. Did you ever read that in the gospel? No. He went about doing good, what?
Healing all.
Not making people sick to the glory of God. But anyway, I'm off on a track. But this subjunctive means God's going to give it, but you have to respond. So I've got that statement written out at the bottom. Paul will ask. That's what he's doing in his prayer. He will ask. We ask. We place a demand. We require something. We request something from God. We ask for it because it's ours by right or ours by promise. And so we ask, and what happens? If we ask, we know that He hears, according to the will of God. And if we know that He hears, we know that we have. So if we ask, He will give. But here's the last part of this where the subjunctive comes in. You have to respond. And so Paul is going to ask, that's his demand, his requirement, but that you may be filled. Not will be filled. That's a whole different tense and mood in the Greek language. That you will be filled, meaning this is going to happen no matter what. We will all be raptured. We will all be present with the Lord. We will all be changed in a moment, in twinkling. We will be. It's definite. It's what's going to happen. And it's going to happen. The people that don't believe in the rapture, they're going to be there anyway. It's like, well, I didn't believe this was going to happen. Well, about 10,000 feet in the air, you'll believe it. But this is God's promise. So Paul asks upon it. Does God want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will? Yes, but Paul is asking. Why? Because just because God wants it doesn't mean it will be. And some believers don't even know that they can. Believers that don't know anything about walking in the will of God or living in the will of God. And so Paul says that you may be filled. Not might be, or not could be, not will be, but that you might be filled. And so Paul knows that believers have to accept, they have to acknowledge, they have to follow, they have to use, they have to fulfill. Sometimes you have to do. So what God wants, you have to do something about. His word says, but are you following that? Are you desiring it? Do you even acknowledge it? Are you going to do it? Jesus said, many come to me and say, Lord, Lord, but they do not do the things that I say. And so we have a lot of believers that they've come to the Lord, but they don't even know what God wants them to do. So this is what Paul prays. So because that's what Paul wants, the leaders of the church, Paul, Epaphras, other leaders within the congregation, the leaders believe, they teach, the believers believe, and they study. But that's not everything that's going to work. Because you have a Bible, you study, but does that mean that everything that you read in there is going to happen in your life? That you're going to do it? That it's going to produce? And so Paul's prayer and request is for a further development in the believer's life. It's one thing for you even to hear what His will is for you. But will you act upon it? Will you act upon what He is revealing? In Paul's prayer in Philippians chapter 1, he focused on our outward demonstration of the Christian life. That we are to live this certain life so that the world can see. So that others might know. And so there is a purpose and plan for us living out God's life to show it to the world. We should act different. We should have a light shining that shows the world that we are following a different way. There should be a separation between us and darkness. And so this is what God wants. That's Philippians chapter 1. But here in Colossians chapter 1, it's more about what God wants to do in us. Paul's praying what God will do within the believers, not how they can demonstrate what God has done, but how God can develop within the believer his purposes and his plans. I don't want to walk through life and just happen upon God's will. I don't want it to just be, I don't know, I guess I'm in the will of God. I just, you know, if God wants to correct me, well, I guess he'll shout down from heaven or something. But no, I want to know what his will is so that I can apply my faith to that, so that I can actively consider what it is that God wants me to do. I want to have more than just happening upon the purpose and plan of God. I want to desire it. I want to search for it. I want to long for it. And so this is what Paul wants for these believers. Paul is asking the Father to help the believers develop the qualities that he desires. So here's God helping you do what he wants. That's pretty cool. It's not us developing what God wanted. It's us receiving and desiring what God wants, because he's the one that's going to do it, which we'll come to in a minute. And so Paul says, I want you to be, that you may be filled with. And so that's the second part of this verb, that you may be filled with. There's a way that we can just know the will of God. But he doesn't want them to just know. He didn't say that you may know the will of God. He said, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. I want you to know the fullness of what it is God is desiring for you. Now, this word, that you may be filled, the Greek word written there on your page, plerao, it means to be filled so as to be possessed by. Paul says, I want you to be possessed by the knowledge of God's will. I want you to be controlled by the knowledge of God's will. I want you to be consumed with the knowledge of God's will. Now, Paul uses this word a lot. He uses this word filled or fulfilled a lot of places in his teaching. We can be filled with joy. We can be filled with peace, in the sense that those two things literally consume or control our life. And I know that we've all experienced that, that there's so much peace that it's like it's just controlling our life. I'm consumed with that peace that God has given. I'm being controlled by it. But there's also possessed with sorrow. How many of you know people that are possessed with sorrow? They can't get past the grief. They can't get past the disappointment. They can't get past that. And so they're filled with sorrow. And to be around them draws upon you. And so you have to try to help build them up and strengthen them. And they have to be open to that, or they just continue in their sorrow. How many know people like that? That no matter how much you've talked to them, they can't get past the sorrow. They can't get past the grief, the disappointment in their life. And many times they end up turning around and blaming God, which a lot of preachers support. Blame God, he's the source of it. But there's also people that are possessed with fear, controlled by fear. You can, in a sense, be paralyzed by fear, that you can't do anything about what you're facing. I know I've shared this story before, but when I was in the Navy and I took a Navy life-saving course, I was already Red Cross, but they put me in the ocean off Virginia Beach, and there was like a cage around us, and we had to swim a mile out in the ocean. All the waves and all of that coming at us, had to swim a mile. And so other guys had done it. They would put two or three in the cage at a time, and then they would swim alongside the boat. But it came my time to go, and just as I was ready to jump in, I thought about, what's underneath there? I mean, we're out off the shelf, and it's about a mile deep where we are. And I've been thinking, I started just instantly. My mind was just flooded with, what's underneath me? Thankfully, the movie Jaws had not come out yet. But even with that, when I jumped in the water, in a sense, I was paralyzed. I just started to go under. I couldn't even think about what I'm supposed to do to some. I was a Red Cross lifesaver. I'd already gone through training. And yet, for a few instants, I was just paralyzed. Finally, I came back up to the surface and swam the mile. But fear can paralyze you. And people are controlled by their fear. No matter what you say, they've got some negative interpretation of what's going to happen. And no matter what it is, their mind keeps turning to the negative side. If there's even just a hint of negative in the promise or what God has said, they focus on that, not the positive. And so this is being controlled by. But I don't want to be controlled by fear or sorrow. And I love to be controlled with joy or possessed with peace, but also want to be possessed, filled, controlled by, listen to this, the knowledge of the will of God. I don't want to just know its surface. I want to be controlled by it. I want to be listening to what this is, not just reading over it, not just glazing over the subject. And again, another point on this word filled with is it's a passive verb. Again, I know you're happy about that. But passive means you don't participate, you just receive. So I don't have to try to get filled with the knowledge. He is going to fill me if I will just accept it. That you may be filled with this knowledge. You don't have to do anything except accept it. Besides accept it. You don't have to do anything but allow it to work in your life. Think about it. Concentrate on it. And so this passive work means I'm not out there laboring to get filled with the knowledge of God. Now, there is study by which we know what God has said. So, but this being filled is not learning, it's receiving. Now, follow with me. Filled with, passive voice, this is God's going to do this, the knowledge of his will. So let's look at the word knowledge. It's good to know by learning. I'm glad I learned the ABCs. The alphabet. I'm glad I learned basic math. I don't care that I didn't learn trigonometry. I don't care. But it's good to learn. And you learn by what? Study. Through somebody teaching you, guiding you, showing you. And so it's good to learn. And this word knowledge that's used here has that word learn as the is the root, to learn, knowledge. So what it's saying is that there's a knowledge, things that you have learned, things you've studied, things you've heard, things you've seen. But in front of this word knowledge, which is the Greek word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis, in front of this is three little letters, E-P-I. From which you get the word epinosis. And epinosis is taking what you learned and elevating it. to make it more. You learn it, and then it gets lifted up. It becomes higher. It's higher than what you learned. And the idea is that we learn things, we study things, but then suddenly there comes this higher understanding of what that word is about, what that subject is about. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to epinoe it, right? Refined. And we get the word revelation out of this, though that's not the Greek word for revelation. But it's in a sense, it is a revelation. It is the light bulb going on. I read it, and all of a sudden, wow. Now I see in here things I hadn't seen before. Epinosis. That is, I'm knowing things that are greater than what I learned. To know more than what you learned. Listen to this verse. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's there in your page. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Paul says to Timothy, "Think over what I say. For the Lord will give you," literally grant you, "understanding in everything." Think over what I say. Now in the Greek language, that word basically means to meditate on. Roll it around, over and over. Think over, think over, think over. Let it go over and over in your mind. Let it repeat. Think about it, think about it. Think about it. And as you do, that's something you are doing. You are what? You are meditating. This is you. That's in the Greek, that's active voice. You are doing this. You are thinking about it, meditating upon it, studying it, looking at it different directions, applications, studying. That's you. And then what's the second part of this? The Lord will give you, grant you. The Greek word there is passive voice. You think, you study, God will grant. Do you see the two parts here? And both of these parts are important. You have to study or meditate, and then God will grant you understanding. But study by itself won't get the understanding. The understanding comes from God. God will grant you. So that's important. But there are other people that just want to wait for understanding. Well, I'm waiting for God to reveal something to me. How many know? Most of the time, that doesn't work. But when you're studying, things get revealed. When you're meditating on the promise of God, things suddenly come to mind. It's like that, and I really hate this, but it's like that word problem that they gave you in math class. Johnny was sent to the store to buy bread and milk and cheese. His mother gave him $5, which probably wouldn't buy that today, but... Okay, $10. What time of day was it? I got no idea. How many ever heard those kind of word problems? It's like, I got no idea. But somebody down the line, maybe the person next to you says, "I got it." They wrote their answer on the page and got an A. I got no idea. What? I don't know. Did he go in the evening so they'd have it for the next morning? Did go in the morning so that they could have it? Did he wait around and wait around and wait around and finally his mom said, "Hey, you know, we don't have this, so go to the store for..." I don't know. I don't know what time of day it was. And this does not tell me. But you ponder it. Weigh it in your mind over and over. How many have ever came to a passage of Scripture that you just didn't understand? And you what? You're rolling around in your head. You ponder it. You meditate upon it. That's what God told Joshua. Meditate on what I have said. But don't go into the land until you've meditated on all the things that I've said. And then God will give you. So this meditation was important. And for Timothy it was. Paul said, consider, ponder, think over what I have said. So what Paul has said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, through here chapter 2, think about what I've been saying. Think of all the things that I've said to you, which, you know, if you walked thousands of miles with Paul, don't you think he would have talked to you about a lot of stuff? And so there's Timothy, having received a lot of instruction, think over what I've been saying. Now let's apply that to this knowledge of God's will. We think over what's before me today. What is the purpose that God has for me today? What is the purpose God has for me in this situation? I've been asked to go and do such and such. What is God's will about this? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? How am I going to apply this? You get up in the morning and you think, you know, I've got to find God's will for this situation. But you can't just decide on what God's will is and say, well, I think this is what God wants me to do and go and do it. But it might not be what he wanted you to do. I don't know about you, but I found myself at times not so far out of the will of God, but in a sense like beside it. I'm going parallel with what God really wanted for me, but it's not really what he wanted for me. And so there are things, but I need to study, meditate upon. And then what happens? The Lord will grant me. Now, the word epinosis doesn't occur in that verse, but it's the same principle. If you meditate, God will give you higher knowledge, refined knowledge. It's one thing to know what he says. People say, well, God's will is in his word. That's true. That's true. It is. But what part of that applies to your situation today? What part of that applies to God wanting you to go to this place or that place? Zach came in, and there he sits back there. You know, and Zach doesn't just find himself suddenly in the purpose of the plan of God. Things are revealed, opportunities are given, and I'm sure you pray about those things, and then God reveals, this is what I want. This is what I want you to do. We can do it just because we want to do it, but is it what God wants me to do? And that's what I'm interested in. And that's what Paul is praying for them. I don't want you to just know what God said. God's will is in his word. Well, again, they didn't have a Bible, but God's will is in his word. So we just read the word and every answer that you need is in here. Really? Really? Is Tulsa in here? But was it God's will for you to be here? So you got here without a verse that said, move to Tulsa. You got here without God telling you, but you're in the will of God because you followed, you listened. Sometimes you're not exactly sure, but you're confident that this is what God has planned for you. I don't know why God is leading me there. We'll talk more about that in our next session. What God has for me there, what his purpose, his plan is for me. But that I am filled with the knowledge of his will. This revealed understanding, this higher learning. I've studied the Bible, but I want to know the fullness of what God is saying there. There's more here than what I'm reading. Do you understand that? Just because you read the verse doesn't mean you got it. There's more there than what you're receiving, more than you're realizing. And many times we've come to that and it's like, wow, I finally realized what this verse is in here for. That's because God has given you epinosis. And as you looked at it, studied it, pondered it, suddenly understanding comes. Now, what is this about? you think God grants according to what his will. That's what we're talking about, understanding his will. Being filled with the knowledge of his will. And the Greek word used for will here, we talked about it in another lesson, is the Greek word thelema. It's two words for will, but this one specifically has to do with an eternal purpose. A designed plan is really what this word will talks about. Something that's been designed. How many of you know God knows your life? Does he know the beginning of it? Does he know the ending of it? Yeah, I don't, but he does. But he also knows the purpose and the plan he has for me. And according to his eternal purpose for me, that's what I want to walk in. Now I know I've taken steps outside of that, but then God has a way to get me back. And God will bring me back. But again, for me to get back, I've got to listen. I know I've been in places where God didn't want me to be. But then I found that God will correct, redirect, just like your Siri, you know, talks to you and says, you are out of the place. You need to come back over here. I turn that off. I'm surprised that Siri didn't answer my phone there. Anyway, but the Holy Spirit is your divine GPS. But I need to listen. I've mentioned this before, Acts chapter 16. Paul picked up Timothy, and so he was on his way. He didn't know where. He was on his way west through what we call Asia today, Turkey. And he's on his way through that region. And he wanted to go this direction, and God said, no. He wanted to go another direction, and the Spirit of Jesus said, no. And Paul then says, I found myself in Troas. I just kept walking, you know, and suddenly that's where I'm at. So what's there? So Paul goes to sleep at night, has the dream. He says, God's calling us to go to Greece, Macedonia. And so Paul gets in a boat and goes. How does he know that it was the will of God for him to go to Macedonia? Not just because he had a dream, but because why? He got there. The other place he wanted to go, he didn't get to. Sometimes we want to do something, but we don't get there. And if we're not listening to God, we get discouraged. Well, God wouldn't let me go. He denied me this. Paul didn't get discouraged by that. He just kept walking. Well, here's the road. I think we'll go north. God says no. I think we'll go south. God says no. Let's go back east. God said no. Keep walking. And he finally got to Troas. So what's interesting is when he wanted to go south, it was to the region where Ephesus is. 7 years later, God said, go to Ephesus. And he was there and had great revival and started the church that was there. So just because it's not God's will for this time doesn't mean it won't be his will for another time. But you got to listen. I want to be filled with the knowledge of his will, his divine purposes, his eternal plans. I don't want just something that's temporary. I don't want something that I just desired to do. I want it to be what God has desired for me to do. And so this is where we're going. And so Paul talks about this fact. I want you to be filled with the fullness of the knowledge of God. And Paul doesn't just say, I want you to. He says, I'm praying that you will be. And if Paul is praying, then who's going to answer that? You or God? If I'm praying, what? God's going to answer. Because he's the one I'm talking to. Paul didn't say, do the will of the Lord. He said, I'm praying that God will help you understand. That he will lead you to this. That you may be filled, possessed by, controlled by this knowledge of God's will. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you that you care enough about our life, our situation, that you have made plans for us to be where you want us to be. And you have a path to get us there. And, Father, sometimes we have no understanding of what it is that you want us to do. Help us to see that. Like Paul, I pray that these, my brothers, sisters, may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. I pray for myself. They pray for themselves, that they would be filled with the knowledge of your will. And Father, there's other people that we know that we pray for, that they would be filled with the knowledge of your will, your eternal purposes, that they would stop walking mindlessly and live for your eternal purpose. We thank you, Father God, that you will do this by your grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.